I gave a 10-minute shiur on this in yeshiva on the topic of chibuk v'nishuk l'krovim. Basically, this is a shaila that comes up very, very often in my line of work, which is teaching high school and post-high school yeshiva boys in the communities that they grow up in and that we live in. It's pretty widely accepted. In some communities, it's even widely accepted after davening that people socially just kiss each other on the cheek, even if they're not related. But it's certainly much more widely accepted to kiss an aunt, a sister, you know, give a hug to a sister before, you know, let's say at her wedding or before you go on a trip or something like that. And the problem that we face is that when you look at the Rishonim and at the Shulchan Aruch, it seems very, very clear in one direction. It seems very, very clear that it's absolutely usur. So what I wanted to do is try to figure out, are there any exceptions? What the isur is based on? Because certainly intuitively, one would imagine that it doesn't sound intuitively. We would think that it shouldn't be asur. It shouldn't be. I mean, I understand the isur of negia b'derech chiba with anybody else, with some woman who's not related to me, who's not closely related to me, there might be a concern of a taiva. But to kiss my 92-year-old great aunt, I mean, is that really a concern that there's going to be a derech taiva when? You know, to give my 92-year-old great aunt, not dead aunt, great aunt, a peck on the cheek or something like that, that's very difficult to understand. So I want to go through this a little bit to hopefully get a better understanding of it, and also maybe see if there are any sorts of exceptions. There is a tshuva that I found on the topic written by Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who is the grandson of Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was the Posek Adar in America before Rav Moshe came on the scene, and he has a grandson who lives in Eretz Yisrael who wrote four volumes of very beautiful Shalos Tshuvos. So in the fourth volume of Tshuvos B'nei Banim, you can see where he attributes his rabbinic prowess to. He calls his Tshuvos B'nei Banim as the grandson of the Posek Adar. He has a whole tshuva on this topic to try to be, whether it be find a heter, melamed zuchus, however you want to say it, on this issue. So let's start at the beginning. The Rambam has some fighting words. The Rambam in Hilchos Issurei Bi'ah Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Aleph, source number one, kol haba al erva min ha'arayos derech evarim, anyone who is boel, one of the arayos, someone who you're not allowed to sleep with, derech evarim, just by coming close to them, o shechavak shechibek v'nishek derech taiva, or hugs or kisses in a desirous way, v'nena b'kiruv basar, and gets hana'a from closeness, hareza lokim in haTorah. The Rambam says, you get malchus mida oraisa. Shnemer levilti asos mechukos hatoevos, v'nomer lo sikruvu legalos erva, kolomer lo sikruvu ledvarim hamevin lidei gilui erva. The Rambam says, so first of all, who does this issue apply to? It applies to all the arayos. What are arayos? So there's a whole parsha of arayos in the Torah. It tells you, basically, it's relatives. It's relatives with whom you're not allowed to sleep. A nida might be arayos, even if it's not related to you, but an ashes ish is arayos. So these are the arayos, but certainly it includes relatives. Your sister is arayos, your aunt is arayos. Those are arayos to us. And the Rambam says that someone who hugs or kisses derech taiva and gets hana'a gets malchus min haTorah. Now, what's notable about this Rambam, and this isn't the most strongly worded Rambam about a sister, because you could read this Rambam and say, yeah, when I kiss my sister, it's not what we call derech taiva and nehene mimenu. That's a totally different kind of physical interaction. So this Rambam doesn't directly comment on that. The Rambam elsewhere has some very strong words about that. But this Rambam, the chiddush of this Rambam, and the reason why this Rambam is a very important maramakom, is that the words hareza lokim in haTorah, that the Rambam understands that the isur midoraisa with arayos is not only to sleep with the arayos, it's to have negia b'derech chiba with arayos. That's also an isur midoraisa. It's not only an isur midrabanan. Shulchan Aruch Neven Ezer, in fact, paskins this way. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly this way that it's us. You get malchus min haTorah. Shulchan Aruch, source number three. Haba alachus min arayos derech evar moshechibek v'nishek v'nedar b'kiruv basar hareza loka v'chashra al arayos. Person gets malchus and he's considered chashad al arayos. He's considered to be someone who's suspected of violating all other sorts of arayos. Because why would he violate this one and not others? So if he violates arayos, he violates arayos. In Avos Rabbi Nasan, he has a Lashon where he understands also, where it seems to support the Ramban, that he also understands that it's an Issa Da'oraisa. It's not like we are trained to think sometimes that the real Issa Da'oraisa is only Bia. Anything else is just Rabbanah trying to protect you. No, this is the Torah itself telling you that this is Asa. The Avos Rabbi Nasan says, Eza Siyag Asisa Torah Lidvareha. Where do you have a siyag that the Torah itself makes? Normally we think of a siyag, a fence around the din, as something the Rabbanan made. The din is what the Torah gives us, and the Rabbanan make a fence around it to protect us. That's normally the way it works. Says the Avos Rabbi Nasan, where do you find a case where the Torah itself makes a siyag? You might think you could hug and kiss a nida, you could sleep in the same bed with her. That even non-sexual relations, just chibuk, nishuk, things like that, is also asur min haTorah. Now this concept of a siyag being created by the Torah is a fascinating concept, because how many examples do we have of that, where the Torah itself makes it very clear that there's a primary concern, and that the Torah gives us other really surim daraisa to protect us from a primary concern, from some other iser. Meaning clearly the worst, and what the Torah is really trying to protect us from over here, is bia with the arayos. How does the Torah protect us? By making another iser da oraisa, not to even have chibuk v'nishuk with the arayos. It's not an iser d'rabanan. So where do you ever have that? So there is a we discussed this once in shul, there is a, like a Shal Shudas, I think we discussed it. There's a piece Rav Yosef Engel has in the Sefer Lekach Tov, where he says, in Rav Yosef Engel's style in general, he likes to think of topics usually that others don't discuss, and that aren't really what you would call Shas topics, in the sense that there's no sugya about this anywhere in Shas. But he says, you know, I thought of an idea. Does this concept exist? And let me go through Shas and bring Rayas and see if the concept exists. So he starts off his piece in Lekach Tov Klal Ches. Hinei nasamti alibi levarer. I decided, you know, to pay attention, to try to clarify. Imatzinu issa daraisa mitam siyag. Do we actually have where the Torah creates a fence around other dinim? Ve'erosi bazeh me'ezu mekomim b'siyata d'shmaya ve'ilahema. And I thought of a couple of marmakomos, and here they are. And he goes on for about 15, 20 pages with 17 examples in Shas, where you can find the siyag d'oraisa. Probably off the top of our heads, we can come up with a couple of them, right? A nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. Mida'oraisa, he's not allowed to eat grapes. What's the real issur of the nazir? What's the Torah trying to protect him from? Clearly trying to protect him from wine. The issur of yichud. Yichud is not only asur mit rabbanan. Yichud with arayos, with an eshes ish, is asur min haTorah. Yichud is very clearly, why is the sheer yichud only kedei bia, the amount of time it takes to have bia? Because yichud is clearly trying to protect you against bia. And nevertheless, yichud is an issur d'oraisa. So there are examples. I'm sure you could think of some others. I didn't go through the whole piece, but bal yirah bal yimatzeh. You're not allowed to own chametz. An issur d'oraisa not to own chametz. Torah is clearly trying to protect us from eating chametz. Many, many other examples. So according to the Rambam, this too is an example of a siyag d'oraisa. And that's what Yosef Engel discusses at length, that shitas haRambam in this piece. So there are many, many examples of this concept. The Ramban, notably, disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, he rereads the whole Avos Rabbi Nasan. He rereads there's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, a Tana de Be'el Yahu, where the Gemara says that there was a Talmud Chacham who was a young man and he died at a young age, and his wife used to go around with his tefillin from Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash saying, you know, why did this happen? Why did God do this to my husband? After all, it says, Kiyem Chayecha Varachemecha, that it's Torah supposed to be Arichus Yamim, and Baali, my husband, learned so much Torah, and why is it? Why did he die? And no one would ever respond to her, till Eliyahu HaNavi met her, and Eliyahu HaNavi said to her, well, how did he act to you while you were in Nida? And she said, Chas v'shalom afil b'etzbektana lo nagabi, God forbid he wouldn't touch me while I'm in Nida. Okay, how about not while you're actually bleeding, but during the Yemei Libuna, during the days where you're preparing to go to the mikvah, where you still have a halachic status of Nida. So she says, well, achalimi, shasaimi, ashnimi, bikiruv basar, you know, he ate with me, he drank with me, we slept in the same bed together, but lo alo daito al davar acher, he never thought of going any further than that, that's where it stopped right there. And what does Eliyahu HaNavi tell her? Baruch hamakom shahargo shalosamta panim shalosh nasa panim latora. blessed is the Ribbono Shel who killed him, because he didn't give proper respect to the Torah. So the Rambam says it's clear raya that kirva ba'arayos, that actually coming close to arayos, even though you're not doing an act of bia, is nisadaraisa. Because what does Eliyahu Navi say? Shelo nasa panam la'Torah. Says the Ramban, no, that's a raya the other way. Because what should Eliyahu Navi have said? Sha'avar al divrei Torah. Sha'avar al losasei. What does it say? Shelo nasa panim la'Torah. Where do we have that lashon of yisa panim, nasa panim? So there's a Gemara in Brachos that has a similar lashon. The Gemara tells us a conversation between the Malachim and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. The Gemara says that Bikshu Malachi Yasharis, Malachim Yasa Kodesh Baruch Hu, why are you no say panim l'klal Yisrael? That's not fair. It's not fair to favor them, to give them favorable treatment over everybody else. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Malachi Yasharis, are you kidding? Favorable treatment? You know what they did for me? I told them that they have to bench when they eat v'achalta v'savata, when they eat a k'day svia, when they eat enough to satisfy themselves, that's when they have to bench. And you know what they do? Afilu k'zayis, afilu k'beitza. They go ahead and they bench. So I'm not going to be nosei panim to them. So what do you see from there? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nosei panim to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is nosei panim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to be nosei panim? To go beyond what the Torah says. So the Ramban says, when Eliyahu Navi uses such a lashon, shel nasa panim la'Torah, what Eliyahu Navi is saying is that he didn't do the drabans. The Doraisa he did. He didn't do the drabans. So the Ramban thinks that Negiyah b'derechiba is a din drabanan. Why does it matter whether it's a din Doraisa or a din drabanan? We observe the rabbinic laws the same way we observe the biblical laws. But it matters in terms of whenever you're dealing with a shayla of any sort, you always have to first clarify what you're dealing with. Is it a Doraisa or is it a drabanan? It just sets the whole tone of where the answer is going to go. Any sorts of sveikos that you raise, obviously, Savik drabanan l'kula, Savik Doraisa l'chumra, but also you just know how serious an issue it is if you're able to determine in advance whether it's a daraisa or a drabanan. Rambam holds daraisa, Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, that it's an issu daraisa to do negiya b'derech chiba with anyone, with any of the arayos. Right? So that's with the exception of a parent, obviously. Right? A mother, son, father, daughter, there would be no such issur of chibuk v'nishuk or things like that. And the Rambam himself says that. We'll see later exactly how the Rambam says it, but the Rambam pretty much says that. Now,
grandparents
also, the Gemara, there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara says that there was a young girl who was an arusa already, which means she was almost married, had one stage of marriage done, and her grandfather came and took her on his lap, and she must have been very young, and the Gemara says that someone said to him, what are you doing? It's inappropriate. And he said, no, it's okay, this is my way of showing love to my daughter, that I treat her daughter with such affection. So most understand from that Gemara that the grandparents also, the grandparents, there wouldn't be an isser of chibuk v'nishuk to begin with, that it's enough in the Gemara. It's difficult though, because there are Gemaras, you have to be careful. Some Gemaras that where it's a story of an Amora doing something like that, you say, oh, he was a Helig Amora, so he was allowed to do it because he didn't have any taivas or any whatever, when it comes to this type of thing. And other Gemaras, you say, if he was allowed to do it, then I'm allowed to do it. If even a holy Amora could do it. So that Gemara, most of the large majority of the Rishonim go with the latter. That if an Amora as a grandfather is allowed to do it, then Kal v'chomer, we're allowed to do it as well. So that's in terms of grandchildren. We'll get to relatives in a second, but before that, just some principles. What about when it's not b'derech chiba? Just stop touching a woman in a non-affectionate way. I'm trying to get someone's attention in the office, tap on the shoulder. It doesn't do anything for me, I don't have any, my mind doesn't start racing, I'm not even attracted to the woman. Just a tap on the shoulder, get her attention. Right? Is that something that's usher? Or let's say, I bump into someone, she's deaf, right? No, this is a serious thing. If someone is blind, can they feel other people's faces? I think Levi Greenspan told me that he asked several Gedolei Yisrael who told him that he was allowed when he was on a date to feel the girl's face, to get an idea of what she looks like. I think he told me that he was allowed to do that. But again, because it's not b'derech chiba, it's clear. So the question is, when it's not b'derech chiba, does that mean, what have we established so far? That when you touch b'derech, when there's bia with the arayos, that's clearly an issa d'arayosa. when you touch b'derech chiba with the arayos, it's either nisa d'arayso, the shitas Rambam, or nisa d'rabbanan, like the shitas Ramban. What about when you touch shalob b'derech chiba? Is it not asr at all, or is that just everyone agrees that that's only nisa d'rabbanan? It's clearly not nisa d'arayso. Is it mutter? Or is it just not in Issa D'Oraisa, only in Issa D'Rabbanan? So Rav Moshe has a very famous tshuva in Ibn Ezra Chil Beisim in Yadalad. Rav Moshe talks about source number 5, Bidvar Halicha B'Subvei U'B'Buses. Right, in regards to traveling on the subway and on buses. Bizman Shalchim B'nei Adam L'Avodasam, when people are on their way to work, meaning during rush hour, Shenim Tzayim Shem Anashim V'Nashim D'Chufim Zeh B'Zeh, where you have men and women pressed up against each other on the subway. Shekashim Elizari, meaning Giyo D'Chifa B'Nashim, where it's very difficult to be careful to avoid touching and pushing up against women. Im Mutar Azal Lachas P'Shal Seh L'Sham, are you allowed to travel on a subway during rush hour? So hine says Rav Moshe, mitzad hanegiu d'chifa b'nashim az leka shum iser mishum de'ein ze derech taiva v'chiba. Rav Moshe says there's no iser of touching when it's shalob derech chiba, and when you're being pushed in a crowded subway and it's uncomfortable, that's clearly shalob derech chiba, and therefore it's mutter. So Rav Moshe takes a very clear stance that it's heter gomor touching shalob derech chiba. It's not that it's only asid rabbanon or mitoros minog or whatever. It's heter gamur. The kolis in the gear by rayos who aflo rabbim shesover shulav below sikru daraisa dafka derech taiva. And even the rabbim holds that touching b'derech chiba is nisa daraisa. That's only when it's b'derech chiba. But when it's not b'derech taiva b'derech chiba, it's heter gamur. It's not even nisar midrabbanon. That is Rav Moshe shita. The problem is, it seems that there's a Beis Yosef that assumes not that way. Now, how are we magdir exactly what Rav Moshe means? Shalom b'derech chiba, shalom b'derech taiva. What does it mean, b'derech taiva? Because this also is a... If you were to ask most poskim, can I tap a woman on the shoulder? They'll probably tell you no, if there's no compelling reason for it. If you were to ask most poskim, after shul, when the rabbi shakes everyone's hands, can you go shake the women's hands also? Not b'derech chiba. I don't think it's b'derech chiba. It's, you know, just shaking your hand, not doing anything. So how are we magdir derech chiba derech taiva? So Rav Moshe would obviously tell you, no, the rabbi shouldn't go around shaking all the women's hands after shul either. Rav Vadi has an interesting tshuva about a chacham who they kiss his hand. They want to know if the chacham wears a glove, can the women kiss his hand because they want to kiss the chacham's hand. Okay, Rav Vadi says no, but how we magdir exactly derech chiba? So Rabbi Henkin has a tremendous chiddush, which I don't think is accepted by other poskim. In his Tshuvos B'nei Banim, Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Zayin, Rabbi Henkin, again the grandson, not the grandfather, not the Posek Hadar, the Rabbi Henkin from Eretz Yisrael, has this tremendous chiddush where he says that derech chiba and taiva means whatever would be done in, if you'll excuse the terminology, in foreplay, whatever would be done in advance of leading up to Bia. But since handshaking, therefore, is not something that would be done leading up to Bia, right? That's not something it's a totally different kind of interaction. So Melu, that's not called Derech Chiba. That's what he wants to tie now. I don't know that other poskim would hold that way. I would assume other poskim would say that Derech Chiba is any time there could be any sort of feeling or sensation or electricity or whatever, and that could happen with handshakes also. Handshakes are a different issue. I don't want to get into that. Now I want to try to get back to our topic over here. It happens to be not everybody agrees with Rav Moshe. It sounds very strongly from the Beis Shmuel, which is one of the major commentaries on Ibn Ezra, Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezra, that even when it's not b'derech chiba, that it is in fact aser. But Rav Moshe explains away what the Beis Shmuel really meant, that he didn't mean that way, whatever. Rav Moshe comes up with some other explanation of what the Beis Shmuel really meant, and that it can't really mean that it's aser. But it does seem from the Pashut reading of the Beis Yosef and the Beis Shmuel on the Ibn Ezra, it seems that there are poskim that hold that Shalom B'derech Chiba is aser as well. Okay, so that's the baseline we set for ourselves.
He's answering the question, or it's much more...
No, Rav Moshe's not dealing with our question yet.
I'm saying, the question that he answered, Shiloh, was,
So he says, you're allowed to travel on the subway because it's not in given
up. Once in a while, the Supreme Court of the United States will answer a question, not because that's the law, but because to say no or yes, whatever the situation is an intolerable answer. You can tell people
right. So it's like the milk Shiloh, where everyone except Rav Shapta says, okay, we have to be matir milk. The question is, what's the explanation we're going to give, right?
I mean, he gives an explanation, and you say, you know, yes, it's true. I mean,
no, but Rav Moshe seems to hold this way.
Rav
Moshe seems
very
serious
happy
about
that's
this.
You know?
Right.
Yes, but,
no, he writes that. He says, look, if you're going to be a person who's going to be very happy that it's happening, then you can't.
Right.
Then
so
you talk,
you
can't. He talks about, you know, he has another truth about it. Someone who's sick who needs to go to the beach for a therapy, needs to be in the ocean. So he was makel. He said, you know, you go at a time, hopefully, where it's not so crowded or whatever else. And but if you're very happy that it's, you know, and you're very, and you're looking around and whatever, so then it's no good. Then you shouldn't do it. You know, Rav Moshe lived in a time where going to the beach was actually worse than just walking down the street. Nowadays, it's hard to be mechalik even. I mean, I'm not, I haven't been to the beach. I don't know if it's okay. Anyway,
Rav Moshe Paskin's basically for Jews in America, would the same apply to Israel?
Oh, you
concept?
Mean in terms of Jews and non-Jews?
No, in terms of Jews going on the subway on the buses.
Mastana.
I
think so.
Because in Israel, they dafka, they segregate bus lines.
Right. Look, Rav Moshe would agree that as a lechatchila, the buses and subway should be arranged in a way where you don't have to push up against somebody. I think we'd all prefer, you know, but where you don't have to push up against somebody of the opposite gender. He would agree that as a lechatchila, that's probably the best, you know, it's probably ideal, where you don't have to touch someone of the opposite gender, but, you know, so as not to risk anything. But,
yeah, that was his sheet, that maybe they wouldn't go to such an extreme to make it difficult or not difficult to do, you know.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what Rav Moshe would say about the current situation in Eretz Yisrael in terms of the bus lines. I don't know. Obviously, the Eretz Yisrael Dikaposkim in general are more machmir in these types of inyanim, you know, in terms of most tznius inyanim, not all Eretz Yisrael Poskim, but I'm saying the Haredi Poskim in Eretz Yisrael in general have a much stricter tradition about many of these things. Now, next thing, age of relatives. Does the age make a difference? For instance, when we get together with my sister-in-law's family, if there's ever a family event, my sister-in-law's grandfather, who is, I don't know, 92, 93 years old, always comes and gives all the women a kiss when he walks in the door. So my wife said, come on, it's got to be okay, you know? He's 90-something years old. How could there be any problem? Is there any point where you age out of this isser? And conversely, is there any point where you're so young that it's not going to apply yet? You know, I take my niece, my two-year-old niece, and I hold my two-year-old niece on my lap, or my 5-6-year-old niece is crossing the street and I want to hold her hand when we cross the street. So is there, at what age is the youngest and what age is the oldest? And this relates very much, in terms of the youngest age, it relates very much to the shaila that's on the minds of a lot of young parents of young daughters. At what age does a girl have to start dressing tzniustik? At what age do you start insisting that your daughter wears proper tzniust clothing, right? So this is a major machlokes haposkin. The Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha it's machlokes Mishnah Berurah in Chazon Ish, and this is one of those cases where the Mishnah Berurah is the more machmir of the two. The Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha says by the age of 3, it's already, that's when she's roi lebia at the age of 3, halachically. So by the age of 3, Mela, she's already got to observe all the laws of tzniyas. And that's how the Haredi Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, and in Williamsburg, and in, you know, many communities, they observe that. And you have little girls by the age of 3 already with tights and long sleeves and everything else, because they assume, like the Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish held otherwise. Chazon Ish said, nah, at the age of 3, a girl is still a little tiny girl. He said, it's got to be at an age where she's already turning into a young lady, where it's already a little bit more, that she's a little more mature, she's not a baby anymore. He says, I'm not going to give you a number. He says, I can't really give an exact number, because it really depends on the girl. Some girls are very little, and till they start acting and, you know, stop just being cutesy and start acting like a young lady, it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes it takes a little bit less. The post can put it anywhere between 6 and 9, where they, you know, depending on who the girl is, and, you know, how she acts and how people act toward her. Rav Shechter used to say that he knew his daughters were ready as soon as his Talmidim started, when they started coming over, stopped putting his daughters on their lap. When they came over, they knew that it was inappropriate. You know, they're not going to take his daughter, who's 9-10 years old, and hold her on their lap. You know, a Talmud of would never do that. So that, obviously, they're treating her like a young lady already. So whatever that age is, he thought that that was the proper geder. Anyway, so that's the in terms of the youngest stage. What about how old in terms of the oldest stage? So Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about this in terms of touching. Shulchan Aruch talks about this in terms of yichud. And Shulchan Aruch says, "Asul l'siachidim erva meha arayos bein zakena bein yalda." Person is not allowed to have yichud with any of the arayos, whether they're old or young. It doesn't make a difference. No matter how old you are, it sounds in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't really matter. There is an iser of yichud. Now, Rav Moshe says, "Wait a second. Does the Shulchan Aruch just mean there's no age? But what if the person is incapable of having bia? Person is at an age where they're unable to have bia." So are you going to say that there's an issue yichud? What did we say before? That the issue yichud is a siyag daraisa. It's there to protect from the iser of bia. So if there's no chance of bia, should there be an issue yichud? So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks there should be an issue yichud still, even if there's no chance of bia, because he says yichud is an issue daraisa. And he thinks that no matter how old, he discusses chibuk v'nishuk also. He says no matter how old the person is, there should be an issur of chibuk v'nishuk, because we paskin like the Rambam, that chibuk v'nishuk is not an issur d'rabbanan to protect us from the issur bia, it's an issur d'oraisa. It might be an issur d'oraisa to protect us from the issur bia, but it's its own issur d'oraisa. So you can't be matir with issurim d'oraisa just because it's not going to lead to a different issur d'oraisa. So Rav Moshe thinks no matter how old, these issurim still apply, it doesn't make a difference. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, disagrees. He thinks that once the person is at the stage where they're unable to have bia anymore, so the siyag d'oraisa won't apply either. The chibuk v'nishuk, the yichud, those yisurim won't apply. Now, you don't always know. You don't always know the answer to that question when the person is still capable of having bia, not still capable of having bia. So it's not necessarily the most practical psak of the Tzitz Eliezer anyway to assume that that's the case. He has an interesting raya, though. He brings a raya from a Chassam Sofer on Chumash, where the Chassam Sofer, or Chassam Sofer in the Drushas, rather, where the Chassam Sofer writes as follows, by the story with Yosef, that Pasuk says, Vayihi kayom hazeh vayavo abayso lasos malachto, Yosef comes to the house, to Potiphar's house, to do malacha, to do his work, ve'in ish me'anshei habayis sham bebayis. And nobody from the men of that house is there. So the Tamiya Rabba Aloso at Sadi, this is in source number 14, he says, some sort of says, very strange. Eich nichnas b'yichud amisha. How is Yosef allowed to go to work then? If there's no one else home except for Eishas Potiphar? So it's an issur d'oraisa of yichud. B'shar she'in anshei habayis sham. U'kameduma kein she'ilule kein lohem in Potiphar li'ishto al Yosef hamuchsak be'in of l'tzadik. And he says, clearly when Potiphar came home, at the very least, although he may have trusted Yosef, he realized at least that there was Yichud. But how could Yosef go ahead and do this? So he quotes, unbelievable, Chassam Sofer writes, to be Miyashev, V'ri'isi b'medrash rabba parshazu, ve'ein ish. Pasuk says, ve'ein ish. What does that mean, ve'ein ish? Shara'a atzmo she'eino ish. He saw on himself that he's not an ish. Ratzalomar, shelohaylo gvuros anashim niskashas. That he realized about himself that he was impotent, that he was unable to have bia. And he said, oh, okay, now there's no issue yichud. So that's what Chassam Sofer says. Okay, now is that pshat in the pasuk? Definitely not pshat. What level of drash that is doesn't matter. But what we see is that Chassam Sofer assumes for Davar Pashut, the Vart only works if you're assuming that when you're, as soon as you're no longer capable of having Bia, there's no Isra of Yichud anymore. Right? So the Chassam Sofer is assuming that. So says to Eliezer, that's a Raya. The question is, can you bring a Raya from a Vart like that? I don't know if you could use that as a Raya la Halacha.
What? What the Torah is given, how can you give a Raya?
Yeah, also be called the Matan Torah, exactly. Okay. Now, let's get to the core issue over here, which is the difference between relatives and other people. There is a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in source number 15, Mesach Shabbos, Taf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Ula, ki hava asi mi bei Rav, when Ula would come home from yeshiva, hava menashik lulach vasei abei chadayu. He would kiss his sisters abei chadayu. Now, it's either abei yodayu, abei chadayu, vamila abei yodayu. He kissed his sisters somewhere. Whatever, he kissed his sisters. Now there's a big discussion where exactly he kissed his sisters. Let's assume on their hands. Okay, let's just make it very simple. The other way would be much more complicated to explain. Let's just assume the hands. Nothing too sexual. Upliga didea didea. And the Gemara says, and it's interesting that Ula did that, because that's against the opinion of Ula. The Amarula, Afilu Shum Korva Asar, because Ula himself said that you're not allowed to have any Korva whatsoever. Mishum Lech Lech Amri Nazir Schar Schar, the Karmelo Sikrav. Because the Pasuk says, you tell the Nazir, go away, you got to get away from the vineyard, you're not allowed to come anywhere near the vineyard, meaning this is something you have to stay very far away from. So it's interesting that Ula kissed his sister, because Ula holds that it's Asar to kiss your sister. So what do you do that? And the Gemara just stops. You expect the Gemara to say, oh, Lo Kasha. Khan with his ugly sister, Khan with his pretty, I don't know, something. Gemara, nothing. Just leaves it hanging. So how are we supposed to understand that Gemara? So says Tosfos, so pliga didei adidei, v'hu ha'yodea ba'atzmo shel yavul yidei hirhur. He knew about himself that he wasn't going to feel a sense of hirhur. Shetzad gomor haya, because he was a tzadik gomor, because I mean, Perek Beis the Ksubis, or Avad Barava, Mark of Akasve Miraculous, like the Gemara in Ksubis, by the Kates and Miraculous, and Akala Sugya, tells us that Ravad Barava used to take the Kala, hold her up on the shoulders. Can you imagine the Rosh Hashiva at the wedding? Takes the Kala, puts her up on his shoulders, and starts dancing with the Kala on the shoulders, and the Talmidim look at it, and the Talmidim say, can we do that? And he says, no, this is just for me, this isn't for you. For me, she's like a beam, I don't feel any sensation, this doesn't do anything for me. So you see such an idea that you could be someone who's so mufka, who's such a tzaddik, who's so beyond all these taivos, which is a little bit difficult to understand, because we also do have a concept of kol gadol mechavero yitzro gadol emenu, that whoever is greater than somebody else's yitzro is also greater. But for whatever reason, we assume that there is such a thing as a tzaddik who's so mufka from this kind of taiva, that it's not going to be a problem. So says Tosfos, what's the Gemara saying by saying that Ula kissed his sister even though he held it was usher to kiss your sister? He held it was usher for normal people to kiss their sister, but he was so mufka from these kinds of taivos that he held for him it wasn't usher to kiss his sister. That's the shita of Tosfos in explaining the Gemara. If you look at the Rambam writes in source number 18, Hilchas Sura Bia Perek Chaval Halachavav, Hamechamek Achas Min Arayos Shein Libo Shel Adam Nokva Aleihen. If a person hugs one of the Arayos who he doesn't have a desire for, and the Rambam says explicitly who he doesn't have a desire for, Shein Libo Nokva Aleihen, O Shenashak Lachas Min, or he kisses one of them, Kigon Achoso Hagadola, like his adult sister, VaAchos Imo, or his aunt, Uchayotzei Behen, those types of relationships. Af al pi she'ein sham taiva v'lo hana'a klal. Even though there's no taiva, there's no hana'a. Ram is saying, I'm not sick. I don't think that you're a perverted person who gets all sorts of ridiculous pleasures when you kiss your sister. No, I understand. There's no hana'a, there's no taiva. I get it, the Rambam says. But let me tell you what I think about that. Hareza meguna biyoser. It's extraordinarily disgusting. V'davar asurhu. It is a forbidden act. Umaisa tipshimu, and it's an act of fools. She'ein craven la erva klal bain gadola bain kitana chutz me'aim lebna va'av lebito. Because we don't go near arayos gadola kitana except for mother, son, father, daughter, period, that's it. No sisters, no aunts. We don't do that. He doesn't mention grandparents. Let's assume grandparents are okay also. No sisters, no aunts. Right? He says explicitly. Now, why? He doesn't say why. He says, I understand there's no taiva. And he says it's Maguna and it's Aser and Maisa Tipshim. Very unusually strong terminology from the Rambam. Right? The Rambam was writing halacha. So you want to tell me it's an Isser? Tell me it's an Isser. Like when the Rambam says that it's Aser to sleep with your sister, he doesn't say all these Lashanos. He just says, yeah, it's Aser, Yechayiv, yeah, terrible. Okay, but he doesn't tell me it's a Maisa Tipshim and Maguna. So what's he doing? What's with the Dabar Maguna and the Maisa Tipshim? What's he accomplishing with such a Lashon? So there is a Shita that holds that when the Rambam uses that kind of Lashon, what he's really trying to say is that it's not really Aser. Meaning, if it were an Isser, I would just tell you it's an Isser.
Yeah.
It's just, right, I would just say, even though he uses the word Dabar Aser, he doesn't mean it in the classical sense. There is such a Shita in the Poskim quoted by Rav Menashe Klein in his Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos, that from the Bate Kuhuna, I think, from the Otsar Poskim, the Shem, the Bate Kuhuna, that it's not a real Isser. If it were a real Isser, the Rambam wouldn't use such strong terminology. Most don't assume that way. Most assume that the Rambam means it. Now, Rav Moshe explains, so what's the Rambam doing? Why? The Rambam acknowledged there's no Taiva, there's no Yitzhar Hara, there's no. So why is it Aser? So Rav Moshe explains that by definition, it's not Derech Taiva, but it's the kind of thing, the kind of behavior that is a slippery slope kind of behavior in terms of the way you interact with other women. So, okay, well, this woman, I've had Talmidim say, can I give a hug to my friend's mother when I come home from Israel? Because she's like a second mother to me. I grew up in the house. She's a second mother to me. She's not your mother. She's an Eishes Ish. What are you talking about, a second mother? So it's a very slippery slope, right? I mean, once you start treating anyone besides for your own mother this way, so it can lead to all other sorts of things. And that's why he thinks that the Rambam holds that it's Aser. Now, says Rav Moshe, though, but if you're a very great tzaddik, like Ula, or like Rav Avda Bar Ava, where you don't feel any sensation with doing this kind of thing even with other people who aren't your sister, then at least for your sister will be Mekum. Meaning, Ula wasn't allowed to go around kissing other women, right? He was allowed to kiss his sister because even with other women he didn't have this kind of taiva. That's how Tosus says. So basically we put ourselves into a corner over here. Is there any heter? So there are basically three heterim that I'm aware of that are all given with tremendous caution. Meaning, all of the poskim who say these heterim either subsequently completely reject them, or say, yeah, you can use this heter, but only if it's really only once in a while in a shasarcha kind of situation, but not if it's going to be on any sort of consistent basis. And part of that is that Rav Kook held that even the Shitas Ramban, that it's only Nisad Rabbanon, Chibuk V'Nishuk, with Arayos, the Rav Kook held that even the Ramban would hold that if you do it consistently, it's Nisad Araisa. So basically, the three Heterim are as follows. Rav Menashe Klein was asked about a guy who was a Baal Tshuva, and his sister was getting married, and if he wouldn't kiss his sister, give his sister a hug at her own wedding, it would be, all heck would break loose in the family. It would be, you know, it would be really bad. Really bad news, and she'd be mortified in front of all of her friends. Under the chuppah, that's what everyone does. Everyone goes and kisses each other. That's what Rabbi Willig always likes to say. He tells his Talmidim, right after you break that glass, run right out of there. There's way too much kissing going on over there. All the wrong way. Say, kiss your mother, kiss your father, and go. You got to be very careful, because a lot of things go on under the chuppah at the end. So if she's going to feel very embarrassed, he says, well, we do have a concept, Godol Kavar Abrios, Shudokhalo Sasei Shabbatorah, that Kavar Abrios is Doche, Isurim Terabanan. So if Kavar Abrios, she's going to feel so embarrassed and undignified that her own brother won't go near her, so then that could be Docha, the Isud Rabbanon of Chibuk V'Nishuk, in what we'll call Shalom B'derech Taiva, because it's your sister. So it's not really what you would say B'derech Taiva in the strongest way. So he wants to suggest maybe that's a reason to be Mekel. You know, there's a famous story with Rav Moshe, it was printed in the Jewish Week a while back, where Rav Moshe was sitting in a doctor's office. This guy tells a story, who he was in Rabbi Tendler's shir at the time in MTA, I forgot the fellow's name, and all he ever heard from Rabbi Tendler was, you know, the shver, just always talking about Rav Moshe, and the guy knew that Rav Moshe was the Gadol Adar, and he was a frum kid, and he was all excited to meet Rav Moshe, and he went up to the mountains, and he was visiting his aunt and uncle, who were not frum at all in the mountains, and his aunt said to him, you know, tomorrow you want to meet Rabbi Moshe Feinstein? And he's like, are you kidding? How am I going to meet Rav Moshe Feinstein with you? He said, well, you know, he's your uncle's patient, and he's coming to the office tomorrow. So he said, okay, great. So he comes to the office, and he puts on a white shirt and whatever, and he's sitting there in the office, and he's all nervous, and he's rehearsing his lines. Should I try to talk in Yiddish? Should I talk in English? And he's trying to figure out exactly what he's going to say to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe walks into the office, and he just totally freezes. The kid freezes. His aunt walks over to Rav Moshe, gives him a peck on the cheek and says, so nice to see you, Rav Moshe. This is my nephew. You believe a shiksa like me has a nephew like this is such a bandara? And Rav Moshe didn't, you know, just smiled or whatever and greeted her. And the woman walked away and the bachur didn't know what to say. All he said was, he saw his aunt just give Rav Moshe a kiss on the cheek and he didn't know what, he was mortified. So he just said, you have to understand, she doesn't know. Rav Moshe says, stop. There were numbers on her arm. She's much holier than me and you. You know, like, it just puts things in perspective a little bit. Like, sometimes, you know, in terms of Menashe Klein's Kavod Abrios issue, you know, when something's usher doesn't necessarily mean that when, the great 92-year-old great aunt comes at you, you know, that you hit her with a right hook. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that way, right? It just, you just, as to know what to do, what the ideal situation is. Rav Moshe says that maybe by an older person, you could say it's more likely that she's like a beam, like the Amoraim said. More likely, but he doesn't like it. He says, how old is old? I don't know, I'm not comfortable with it, Rav Moshe says. Rabbi Henkin has the biggest kula. He writes that we don't paskin like the Rambam. Basically, I'll just put it in a very quick nutshell. The whole tshuva is in the back of the Maromakomus over here. Basically, the Rambam seems to hold, if you look in the Pirush HaMishnayos, And the Rambam holds that once a girl gets older, even her father is not supposed to hug and kiss her. I mean, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam sounds that father is always okay. But in the Pirushim Shnayis, it becomes very clear that the Rambam didn't mean that. The Rambam held that even the father can't hug and kiss her when she gets older. So he says, we obviously don't pass on like the Rambam. So I don't care how many times the Shulchan quotes the Rambam over here. We don't pass on that way. No one in the history of Judaism ever passed on that way. It must be that we paskin like the Ramban, and he goes on to demonstrate why he thinks the Ramban holds that it might be mutter. But again, even Rabbi Hankin says only on a once in a while basis, and if it's going to happen on any sort of consistent basis, you have to try to explain to relatives that this just isn't what I do, and that I love you very much, but that's, you know, not the way that I behave. Okay, so.